Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the Emden Studios. Sam, we have Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side. Our friends at Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor, they're celebrating the North American Auto Show. And as part of that celebration, they have come with great deals from our friends at Chevy. So if you make it down to the corner of Jackson and Wagner Roads in Ann Arbor, 3515 Jackson Road to be exact, you can take advantage of those great deals from Chevy. You can also find them online at suburbanchevroletofannarbor.com and see the great deals like the one on the 2019 Chevy Trax, this sporty, you know, kind of wheel around town, compact SUV. You can lease it right now for $98 a month with $995 down, or sign and drive for $199 per month for 24 months. Or how about this? The 2019 Chevy Equinox LT. Means that, you know, you want to opt for a little more size, get into that midsize SUV. The 2019 Chevy Equinox LT is the vehicle for you. It's the top selling. It was the top selling vehicle in Michigan in 2018. So go ahead and get you one in 2019. You can lease one for $159 a month with $995 down, sign and drive for $264 per month for 24 months. Now, again, folks, these deals go through the end of the month, through the end of January. January 31st is the last day. So get on down to Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor and take advantage. Chevy, find new roads. Suburban, make the choice. All right, so, you know, I was very interested in the Nebraska Michigan State game, you know, for obvious reasons. Michigan number two in the country, 17-0, you know, projected one seed, you know, supposed to be on a collision course. Looks like they will be on a collision course with the Michigan State Spartans. Nebraska being one of the teams that I picked to be a major threat for the Big Ten crown this year. So it was slated to be a good game, and it wound up being one out in Lincoln. Now, Michigan State shorthanded, played in that game without Josh Langford, you know, and Kyle Ahrens. They were still able to pull that one out on the road. That is impressive, to say the least. I will also say, when you look at the craftiness of Cassius Winston, he has, for as much as I give it to him for his you know, for his issues playing against X, he's better. He is better. You look at the loss of offensive talent around him, and he's found a way. You know, he's found a way. His in-between game, I think, is better. You know, Michigan State, the ball movement on this team this year is much better. You even look at a guy like Nick Ward. He had a three yesterday. He did a decent job passing out of double teams at times. So they are an improved team. But Nebraska, so you're at home. I mean, you have some favorable matchup, you know, some favorable matchups on your side. You know, a lot of people pointed to James Palmer this morning, right? And I understand why. I mean, you look at his stat line. I think James Palmer last night, I have to pull it back up. I think they said he was like 6-for-21, Ira. I mean, he couldn't throw it in the ocean. You do have to give Matt McQuaid some credit. And I guess Matt McQuaid is their defensive stopper. You know, they did a decent job, I think, of helping on Palmer at times, giving McQuaid some help. But man, they forced two many shots from three. Now, for me, rather than point to James Palmer, the guy I'm pointing to is Glenn Watson. All right, now, why am I pointing at Glenn Watson? Why, pray tell, would I say Glenn Watson let his team down? Because his matchup is Cassius Winston. And first of all, I mean, it was a pitiful defensive effort by Glenn Watson. I mean, if Cassius Winston is blowing by you defensively, then you aren't playing defense. Need I repeat myself? If Cassius Winston is blowing by you, you are not playing defense. Now, I'll give him some credit for, you know, he's crafty. His hesitation dribble is giving him some space, giving him a step at times. You have to be a guy that is in his shorts. But why are you putting yourself in a position to close out on Cassius Winston? You should be stepping on his toes anyway. I mean, he shouldn't be able to leverage you off the dribble by taking advantage of closeouts. You should be on him all the time anyway. You shouldn't ever help off of him. He's too good of a shooter. But Glenn Watson, on a number of occasions last night, Cassius Winston going. I mean, he just goes right by. Hesitation dribble, goes right by. Like, what are you doing? If I'm 10 miles, I'm like, man, can you play some defense? Can you play? I mean, it's one thing if he's going to hit threes, but he shouldn't be able to get to the rack. He should be able to get by you. Guy playing no defense. And then on the other side, it's like, okay, so you got a foot speed advantage. Why are most of your shots from behind the arc? Why? Why? Why are you jacking threes, Glenn Watson? Now, it's not like he's a poor shooter, but you have a quickness advantage, and your team is not hitting threes on this night. Neither are you at a high clip. Get to the rim. Their offense last night was running Chuck.
It was bad offense last night.
It's terrible. Tim Miles said, what's your problem? I think our offense was bad. Duh. Yeah, man.
I think that. Do you think they maybe got a little intimidated early by a couple of the block shots? There were some big blocks in the first half, and it may get into their mind a little bit about attacking a little bit less. I mean, I think they like to chuck them anyway at times, but it seemed maybe even more so. I thought they maybe the length inside. I'm not sure. I was trying to figure it out because, I mean, the final numbers are staggering, Sam. The final number of shooting 19% from long range, that's a staggering number. When you can't hit shots, as you say, when you can't make shots, stop shooting.
Give me a break. Give me a break. You're 19% from three, and you keep shooting them. I mean, folks, 5 for 26. 5 for 26. Why are you taking 26 threes in this game? Are you kidding me? And as I said before, Glenn Watson, he was 3 for 13 from the field. He was 2 for 7 from three-point range.
Of course, he was 1 of 6 from two, so it's not like the twos are great. But at least be aggressive and get to the rim. Try to create.
You have a foot speed advantage. In the very least, okay, so they're blocking shots at the rim. If you're beating you're beating Cassius Winston off the dribble, you're collapsing their defense. It should be somewhat open, right? At least, if you're going to take these three-point looks, at least make them good three-point looks.
They had some like step back, fall away threes. That was bad. Yeah, they were rushing. Oh, it was bad. I don't really need to go deep into the thesaurus to describe it.
He shot 3 for 13 from the field, 2 for 7 from three. Ira, he had 1 assist. I wonder why. I wonder why he had 1 assist.
And no free throw attempts.
I wonder why. Ira, this is so,
the two things are hand in hand.
So puzzling. So puzzling why he had no assists and no free throws.
So the question I have, I'll throw this out at you because I don't have the answer to this. The question I have is this what makes the coach to really frustrate a coach? Or does this, because the players are not initially listening and doing all the things the coach wants them to do, or is this really frustrating for a fan base because they have a coach that can't
get it out of
that doesn't coach them to do it the way, you know, maybe to beat what is.
I think it's the latter.
For something better. Is it more on the coach not putting the players in the right position, or is it the players not listening to the coach? And I agree. I think it's the coach not putting the players in the right position.
So you look at this is not Tim Miles'. It's not like this team that he's coaching this year. He's just getting all these guys.
Right. These are all returning guys.
And
there's some really good players in this team.
Now, look, they still look like they are on course to be a tournament team. They're 13-5. You know, John Beilein made the point when he came on. It wasn't John Beilein. It was Brian Cook who talked about their Big Ten schedule to start has been pretty treacherous. So things will lighten up and their record will get better in the Big Ten. But I tell you what, man, if you are their fan base, you're looking at this team, the amount of returning talent they have. I think last night is a game. Michigan State down a couple of players. Last night is a game at home that you get.
So
that you get.
I characterize the game this way. It was the biggest game in Nebraska basketball at home in, I know they were in the tournament in the 90s, so probably since the 90s. It was probably the biggest home game that they've had. And this is the best team that they've probably had since like the 90s, right? I'm guessing because I don't remember all Nebraska basketball before they joined the Big Ten. But they haven't been very good in the Big Ten. So since the 90s probably, they lost in the opening round in, was it 94, 95? They lost in the opening round in Baltimore. But since then, it's probably the best team they've had. So this is the biggest game that Nebraska's probably had at home since then. And it was it's probably the best team they've had since then. So you're talking 20, 25 years. And they played like poop on offense.
Yeah, they did.
And partially played like poop on defense. Because you can look at some of the other guys. And you can look at what some of the other guys on Michigan State did or didn't do. And so you can see other players on Nebraska that played well. I think you start at that point guard spot, which is why you point to the Cassius versus Xavier Simpson matchup when you talk about them playing Michigan, because Cassius isn't going to face a guy like Xavier Simpson most nights. He may play offensive point guards that he's got to match up with, and he may not be able to stop, and they get theirs, and he gets his. But how many times is he going to play against a point guard that – it was like talking about Trey going against Aaron Kraft. How often do you go against a guy like that that is more crafty defensively than you are used to or accustomed to playing?
Yeah, it was – I tell you what, it was, and Tom Izzo after the game said they shot poor. You could take 26 bad threes and hit more than five, right? So I will say that it was a horrendous shooting night. You know, you can most nights you make at least a couple more, even with a you know, a good helping of bad threes. So their luck wasn't on their side, but shot selection was just, it was horrendous. And why are we railing on it so much? Because in the second, they were 1-for-12 from three in the second half. What, man? What? Come on. Stop shooting freaking threes. Stop it.
We've had this conversation here. Remember, you can go back over the years. There are games where three-point shooting definitely shoots you out of a game. And the conversation doesn't change. When you are shooting that poorly, you have to do
something
different. Try to find a way and make... To me, I think what really hurt them in the second half is they weren't quite as good at forcing turnovers as well. Because if you force some live ball turnovers, you can get some easier baskets. They weren't doing that as well in the second half. They weren't getting really any of their offensive rebounds because you miss all those threes. You don't have anybody that's in the long range in that range to get the weird caroms off of the missed threes. It was a bad performance. I'd say bad, but it was not a good performance offensively. And it was not a good enough performance defensively because Cassius had his way at that spot.
So there,
that was a big opportunity for them though, and
they blew it.
They blew the opportunity.
Again, you know, Michigan State's a really good team. They are. You know, they're legit, but they're shorthanded. And you have the talent at Nebraska to win this game. You got to get this game at home. I mean, if you are going to be what what many people thought you could be, that's a game you get at home against a very good team that's shorthanded. And they didn't get it done last night. Now, I reiterate, they should be a tournament team. All right. The schedule gets a little better for them coming up. They got at Rutgers. You can get right there, home against Ohio State. Home against Wisconsin. So a couple of very winnable, decent teams, but winnable home games. And you're at Illinois. I mean, the next four games should be wins for Nebraska. Now you're feeling a little bit better about yourself before you have your next, top 20 matchup with your next matchup with the top 20 team in Maryland. And you have that game at home. So we'll see what they're able to do, by the time Michigan sees them, in late February, it'll be our luck that those threes, a few more of those threes that were errant would fall, but they got to come to Ann Arbor. So I obviously like Michigan in that game, but let down for them. It wound up being a tight game. I think tighter than if you watch the game. And, you know, to me, late, it wasn't really a six-point game. I mean, they were able to extend the game a bit in the last few minutes and made it, you know, look a little tighter. Michigan State had actually built a double-digit lead.
Yeah, it was close till it was the arm-length game till the second half of the second half. Michigan State had their run to pull it a little bit away, and Nebraska tried to keep it close and just couldn't get the opportunity to take advantage of an opportunity. That's what we talked about. And the next game, as you kind of fast forward, we'll talk about Michigan, obviously, for the Wisconsin game. But, Sam, you know who Michigan State has next? Monday night, they host Maryland in another one of those big games in the Big Ten. There seems to be like one of those every night. Maryland's at Ohio State tonight. And so they, you know, one of those games, Ohio State's lost three in a row. Indiana is at Purdue tomorrow. Indiana's lost three in a row, and Purdue is starting to play a little bit better. There are so many fun basketball games and scenarios coming through each and every game, it seems like. And then, of course, nationally, everyone's going to be keeping their eye on that Duke-Virginia game. The news out of Duke, I don't know if you saw that, but Trey Jones should not be out for a long period of time. They expect him back much sooner than maybe originally expected.
So did they give a timeline?
They did not give a timeline. They probably not for tomorrow, which will hurt them in the game against Virginia, obviously. But it does sound like within a week or so, as opposed to what potentially could have been maybe a month or longer injury. It doesn't sound like it's that long. And while Zion's the best player on that team and Barrett is terrific, that team does not go without Jones.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. That team does not go without Jones.
You mentioned Zion Williamson. He'll be the number one pick in the NBA draft.
Without question.
No doubt. But the guy I like, the guy I want.
Maybe you should just keep this under wraps so you don't give out the secrets, that right?
The guy I would target in this draft that I think is just, man. Like, this is the dude. Ja Morant is a name that maybe a lot of folks haven't heard. Learn it. You haven't heard it because he doesn't go to a high major. You know, he's not. I guess he is on SportsCenter a little more these days. But Ja Morant, point guard out of Murray State, is a baller. A flat-out baller. Has it all. Has the size at about 6'3 and some change, 180 pounds. He can shoot it, but his lift, his bounce, he can finish, man. Ira, this dude, he's the guy. Telling you, you looking at a guy in this draft, Zion Williamson is a physical freak, but you're looking to see his game develop. I relayed this before. You're sitting talking to Chris Webber, he said he's the best athlete he's seen on a basketball floor. And think about all the tremendous athletes we've seen. I said, better than you, Chris? Wow. He said, yeah, better. He's just, look at him. The guy's 280 pounds. So you think about a guy like Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, tremendous, tremendous bounce at Oklahoma. He wasn't 280 pounds. I think that's what they're saying when they say he's the best athlete they've seen on a basketball floor. Yeah, he has that explosiveness, but he's doing it a good 40, 50 pounds heavier than a lot of guys that play that position. So he'll be number one. The question for him will be, can he develop his game? Can he develop his perimeter game like we've seen Blake Griffin do? I mean, we talked about it before. I'm sure there's some Michigan fans that won those Piston tickets through us yesterday that might be getting down to really watch the Pistons up close for the first time, right? To really see Blake Griffin as a bona fide wing, a perimeter guy that not only can shoot it, but can take you off the bounce and creates for others. I mean, he's good for five, six assists per game. You know, can Zion Williamson do that? Or will he just be a rim runner and finisher? Which you can make a career out of that. You can even be an all-star from time to time, but can you be one of the NBA elites, you know, which he has the talent to be? Time will tell. But Ja Morant, Ira, I'm telling you, this dude, that's the guy. If I'm the Detroit Pistons, I'm playing my young guys. See, tanking is not about guys not trying.
It's not a game day strategy. It's not a game plan.
Guys not trying. Yeah. And surely because they are still in the playoff hunt, they aren't going to be thinking tanking right now.
They've lost like 14 to 17. They might as well be.
Ira, you're preaching to the choir, but Dwayne Casey didn't come here to be me. I'm quoting him. I didn't come here to be middle of the road, to just be, you know, edging on the playoffs. Train wreck. We had this discussion back when they were John Beilein. See, now we're thanking John Beilein for staying at Michigan. Hallelujah. But come on. Come on, John. I mean, look at what our suggestive mentions helped you avoid, man. Helped you avoid it. 734-998-1050. Got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider at Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket.